SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway now on the early line. Monday morning, new week, new money. And as always, sometimes you got to take a look back here in order to go forward. The NBA draft, a lot of fun. Thursday night, Ocean's Casino and Resort in Atlantic City. The boys did a great job for those 4 hours covering everything you needed to know. And then Friday morning, we recapped. And then you take that little step back over Saturday and Sunday. But Victor Wembanyama, number one overall, massive expectations for a massive individual. Now, as we take a look, I do believe we have a graphic coming up for Victor Wembanyama. Now, granted, when you watch this picture, if you're watching live right now on the TV, you say to yourself, oh, look at this, hanging out with a couple guys around this. I mean, my goodness, he's putting other guys who are extremely tall in line, Joe Ranieri. Now, as I say, little jokes here. Friday, if you watch the morning show, the early line, look, I'm not that short of a guy. I'm just over 5'10". But in my chair, the same height as Kevin, it looked like he was Wembanyama, and I was a point guard at this point. Just to see the overall size of Wembanyama coming into the NBA is pretty impressive.
That, well, who is that? Where is Duncan in this picture? Which one is he?
Is he incognito? All the way,
geez, I can't tell. Because he's towering over everybody else in this photo, and these are all legends that are in this picture here. It's kind of hard to believe here, but when you're 7'4", 7'5", the wingspan is that of a 747, Donnie. And by the way, we got Wembanyama mania going on from what I understand in San Antonio, too. The whole city is rejuvenated, and they should be, because in San Antonio, this is their team, right? This is their lifeline, man. And the Spurs getting this kid, they've lived through Duncan. They've lived through the Admiral. They know what this means. This is a transformation for an organization. Guys like this don't come around very often. It's been a while since we've had the kind of hype this kid has, but they have it in San Antonio, and kudos to them.
Yeah, they have the river walk down there in San Antonio, right? The boats go through. It's a nice little, you know, appearance down in downtown San Antonio. Does he just walk through the river walk, I guess? Like, doesn't need a boat? Like, yeah, you know, I don't have to swim either. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, 7'5" with that wingspan is really impressive. I'll tell you what else is impressive, though. We talk about Wembanyama and how well we think he's going to be as an NBA player, which means maybe Rookie of the Year, maybe MVP, multiple championships. They'll get it started this year in San Antonio. But it is interesting to me when you take a look at the Rookie of the Year odds, Joe, at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's only a -160. We're missing a couple zeros here, Joe. I mean, we're talking about one of the best players of all time possibly here. How is he only a -160 his rookie year?
Yeah, that'll change, Donnie. As we get a little bit closer, that is going to be, I'd be shocked the minute that he steps on the court for some of these summer league games. I'd be shocked if that's not $2 the minute after most people, because most people have not seen him yet, Donnie, right? They see the pictures, they hear the hype, but they really haven't spent any time watching him play or have had access to see him play. They're going to have access because everybody in the world is going to cover it this summer here when he gets on the court there for Pop and in the summer league. And then they're going to be like, yeah, this kid's going to run away with Rookie of the Year. So if you're interested, you might as well get it now, because I don't think you're going to get it lower at any time soon here, Donnie. That's for sure.
No, certainly not at this point. And also, Kevin brought up a good point on Friday's show, because Greg Popovich is the king of, hey, some of my players need their rest here. And as we know now, you got to play 65 games to win an MVP award, coming off the bench or whatever it would be, including Rookie of the Year. We'll see if that does factor in and why that might be only a -160 price. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live to the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie here going over some NBA action. And again, sometimes it just heats up off the court. Could this be the first of many big-time signings here? Naz Reid, 3 years, $42 million, going back to the Timberwolves. Career high, 11.5 points and 4.9 rebounds per game here.
Yeah, he was phenomenal for him. He's only 24 years old and loves playing for Chris Finch, who really helped him elevate his game this year. I love the shot blocking. I love the defense he brings. And now he's added some offense. But the problem is, as long as you got Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert on that team, we're not going to see as much of Naz Reid, unfortunately, as we should be seeing. But that might change between now and the start of the season. I'm just saying.
Undrafted guy, nice paycheck. Now let's keep it moving. Some of the hot topics here in the NBA, which include, look, I like hot takes. I really do. It started with, who's the best player of all time? It's Paul George. And now it ends with, yeah, I can see us in the finals next year. That's Brandon Miller going to the Charlotte Hornets with a lot of hype, apparently, around his team, according to him.
Listen, Brandon. You need to settle down with the let's bring the championship to Charlotte, because never had anything even close to a championship show up in Charlotte. So I appreciate the enthusiasm, and but we may want to slow the roll on the whole. We're going to bring a championship to Charlotte. And listen, I'm not saying you can't, but why don't you go ahead and, I don't know, play a game first. Let's see how that rolls out in the big, you know, this ain't Alabama, dude. You ain't playing Missouri. So let's see how this rolls out first, shall we?
Just saying. I like this too. The GOAT is Paul George. Meanwhile, he's going to a team that currently is owned by Michael Jordan, and he expects to be in the NBA Finals. But how about this? If they win the NBA Finals, there's no lower percentage that you can go than 500-1 for the Charlotte Hornets. Wow, that is a lottery ticket. You know where we're going next? Teams that should have lottery tickets. Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have a show called The Biggest Loser. We're going to do Major League Baseball edition. I should say midway through Major League Baseball edition. It's Donnie and Joe here, Sirius XM Channel 159, the early line. It's time to talk some disappointing Major League Baseball teams. And quite frankly, it has to start in the Big Apple. It's not the New York Yankees. It's the New York Mets. Joe, if we look at the standings, forget about just the National League East. There's 15 teams in the National League. The New York Mets look like, what is it, 12, 13, 14, 12th out of 15 teams in the National League right now, sitting at 35 and 42 overall. The highest payroll in baseball in America. I guess it would be a National League / American League, Major League Baseball record in the amount of payroll they have. How can it be possible that they're hovering around the likes of the Nationals and the Rockies when other teams, including the Pittsburgh Pirates, are tied with them right now or better? The Mets season, I don't think anybody saw this disaster coming so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was nothing really indicating that this is where we were going to be, right, at this particular point, Donnie. I mean, at the time, you wondered, you know, would Father Time, you know, we'd at least get, I don't know, half a season, maybe one more season out of both of Scherzer and Verlander to think that maybe they could carry this team at the front end of the rotation. Well, as it's turned out, and, you know, you start looking at Verlander's numbers, Scherzer has rebounded from a terrible start. Verlander, who started hurt and now is slowly, you know, come back into rotation here, but his numbers are, he's a shell of what he was, Donnie. I mean, we usually see guys when they hit 40, right? We see that usually the fall is pretty steep and it's pretty damn quick, right? Because Father Time, it just kind of smacks him. Outside of the old Roger Clemens, let me jack a few needles. I am not sure how it is Verlander is going to rebound on this. He's striking out less. He's walking more. His velocity isn't the same. Where do you go from here if you're the New York Mets? Can you suck somebody up into taking him and then maybe get a bunch of prospects in return? Who wants to pay that salary, Donnie? They backed themselves into a corner. It's cardinal rule number one. Don't overpay for 40-year-old pitchers.
And that's what they did, too, try to catch that lightning in a bottle for next series or season or two, but certainly hasn't worked out in the direction. But also, other big money names in that lineup, Francisco Lindor just has not turned out to be that big-ticket item that was supposed to be productive with an MVP chance at this point. Pete Alonso certainly doing fine, but that lineup, 1-9, certainly underperforming, to say the least. To win a World Series right now, the New York Mets sit at a 45-1 price in order to do that. Why don't we keep it in the National League? Why? Because it seems like just about every team that we expected to be good and has been disappointing is in the National League. That's the San Diego Padres, who currently sit at a 20-1 price here to win the World Series. One of those teams with an unbelievable amount of talent, from starting pitching to bullpen to big-time $300 million contracts that are supposed to come up. But also, Juan Soto looking for the next in line to be one of those $300 million-plus payers. It just hasn't worked out either for the San Diego Padres, but a much better price point here than the New York Mets. If we look at the Padres, they're only two games better than the Mets at 37-41 on the season. So I want to start here and sort of build off of the Mets here. If you're looking right now, even though they're only separated by two games, look at the price points between winning the World Series between the Mets and the Padres. It's night and day. Do you agree with that split between those two ball clubs here, Joe?
No, I mean, which is, pick your poison here. Which one do you want? We've got two teams that have completely overpaid for the pieces they have. Thinking that maybe you can buy your way into a title, is that it doesn't work that way in baseball. And you know who showed us that over the years, Donnie? The Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays. There's no need to have that kind of payroll and think you're going to be able to beat anybody. Is the talent there? Yes. Machado throwing up all over himself. He too, not having even remotely close to the kind of year that they thought he would have. Soto, I mean, how much longer are we going to give Soto the excuse where he's trying to find it? He's working his way. Give me a break. You went out there, Bogarts, it was another big one that you went and spent all this money on. You've got issues across the board there, but I think a lot of them, Donnie, center around the fact that this lineup, individually, you got some great pieces. Together, it's not working. And I don't know what the answer to the Padres is either, outside of you better hope somebody. Tatis was supposed to be that spark, wasn't he? How'd that work out so far when they brought him back? Everyone thought this team would be scoring 18 runs a game, and yet here they are, back-to-back games, scoring no runs and, what, three runs and getting blown out by the Washington Nationals. At home, no less. This team is in big, big trouble, because when you're that big a superstar and you're getting paid that much money and you don't deliver, it gets harder, Donnie. It don't get easier.
No, certainly right about that. Take a look at, again, every position they have covered, Joe. When you get into the playoffs, and let's just say they do make the playoffs, it's Darvish, Musgrove, and Snell, 1-2-3. That's what you need. You need good closers, you know, a relief guy in Nick Martinez, very good. Josh Hader is your closer. Yep. Look at the 1-9 lineup, and they sort of caught lightning in a bottle also with Gary Sanchez behind the plate, who's actually hitting his weight at this point, which is pretty impressive. Cronenworth, Kim, Machado, Bogart, Soto, Grisham, Tatis, and Nelson Cruz they brought in as a DH, who's only hitting .240 at this point. You want to look at it and say, maybe the most talented roster in baseball, it feels like to me, it's the San Diego Padres. And you just scratch your head and go, I don't understand. Like, how can you be so good at every single position but be under 500? If you look between the Mets, obviously, because they have a lot of high-priced players as well. But to me, the Padres, and I don't want to say too disappointed, because granted, we still have July, August, and September to right the ship. You don't have to actually win that division. You just got to play your way into the playoffs and get hot at the right time. This is a team that went to the National League Championship Series and lost to the Philadelphia Phillies. We're expecting them to make a comeback here on the second end of the season, but all of that talent, it can't go to waste. It's one of those teams that we don't really take a look at, though. Couple games under 500, Joe, and say, well, they should probably sell some of those pieces. You could trade Tatis. You could trade, you know, Manny Machado. You could trade Juan Soto coming up on a big contract. We don't hear that because we figure there's a good chance they can right the ship. You know what team we're hearing now that possibly won't right the ship? 75-1 to win the World Series, the St. Louis Cardinals. By far in their division, Joe, the most talented team by a wide margin. But they might be the feeder system for Major League Baseball's upper echelon teams. Maybe Nolan Arenado. Maybe you get a guy like, you know, first baseman Paul Goldschmidt on that open market. Mm-hmm. They have a ton of outfield young talent that can be traded for arms here. The Cardinals. And look, I know the Padres are bad. I know the Mets are playing bad right now. But for me, the Cardinals, the most astonishing where in that division, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, there's maybe no more excuse than
crazy.
What is it, Cardinals? Like, seriously, the problem that I think we're seeing here is that something else is going on in that Cardinals clubhouse, because they're it's not working, and it's not working. You brought in Contreras, right? You spent all this money to bring in him from your rival in the Cubs there, and you thought, hey, this is now we get rid of our Hall of Famer Molina, right? We bring in Contreras, we've got everything. Well, you got a 42-year-old Wainwright who's throwing 85 miles an hour out there. You've got Flaherty's coming back, who has no idea where he's throwing the ball. Your starting pitcher is the pitching is suspect at best when Miles Mikolas is supposed to be your ace. This team has got pitching problems. And they're not hitting lefties like they did last year when they crushed them. They're not hitting righties. There is all sorts of issues going on in that clubhouse. And maybe that roster isn't just as good as we thought and they thought they were going to be.
Yeah, it starts right there with Wilson Contreras. Like, it's like, hey, who's going to hand the baton off from Yadi Molina after all these years? Perfect. Contreras is the guy. And like a month into the season, like, we don't know if he can catch anymore for us. So I don't know who's making the decisions for the Cardinals, Joe. But that 1-9 is so talented looking. But you're right. If you could just point to one move that says, hey, what a perfect way to hand it off to Molina, to a guy that's like, we don't know if he can catch and we think he might be a bust already. Ridiculous. The NFL's up next. It's the Baltimore Ravens. No bust there, pal. No bust there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You better get ready for some football. Why? At the end of this week, we will get to July. What does July mean? Training camps begin. And you know when training camp begins for the rookies for the Baltimore Ravens? July 11th, Joe. July 11th. Is that the official date of football season? Absolutely. Getting the calendars turned. But before we get there, team previews, we're going to go all along. Make sure we cover every single team in a deep dive. Today, we're talking Baltimore Ravens football. Lamar Jackson, massive contract back in the fold. The vibes are good. OBJ is there. There's weapons all over the place, Joe. Give me a quick assessment here of your thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens on this deep dive.
So the Ravens, I think you have to start with the schedule, Donnie, when you look at what the Ravens have got going. And what they have is, now we know Lamar on the road, his record has been phenomenal, his career. I believe 21-9 is what Lamar is on the road with the Ravens. And that's absolutely one of the best in the National Football League. But is that going to continue when you look at how much? We're talking the Ravens traveling over 25,000 miles, which is the sixth most in the NFL here. They also have to go to London. That's going to be included here. Look at the stretch that they have in the final couple of weeks of the season. They're going to have to go at Jacksonville, at San Francisco, at home against Miami, and then finish the season against Pittsburgh. And by the way, San Francisco, Jacksonville, all made the playoffs last year. So not only are they going to be traveling halfway around the world, the schedule is not setting up great for them if they need to get some wins down the stretch. That is a brutal schedule for them. They're on primetime four times, I think. They're going to be on primetime television as well. Ultimately, it's going to come down to, can they beat the Bengals? Can they beat the Steelers? Everybody beats the Browns. We already know that, although I think that's going to be a tougher situation. And we're, again, Donnie, talking about a Baltimore Ravens team. Their success lies in one position, And we all know who that position is occupied by and what happens if he is not on the field. So if Lamar Jackson stays healthy for the entire season, sure, why not? But if he misses time, we're back to square one with them, only the schedule's a little tougher and the traveling this year is, that's a brutal stretch here. So good luck keeping Lamar healthy. You better bubble wrap him, because if anything happens to him, Donnie, I'm worried about anybody looking at an over 10.5 win ticket here for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at Lamar Jackson in just a few moments. But getting back to that schedule, nice little landing point here to start the season. Texans at home. You go on the road to the Bengals, which will be a tough one. But then you get the Colts back at home. So let's just say, theoretically, 2-1 to start the season. Next three games, which technically are road games, right? At the Browns, which, again, division rival on the road, always a tough spot. The Steelers, same thing. Division rival on the road, tough spot. Then you do go overseas and play the Titans. I think they win that game, but that's a lot of travel and also a lot of road games here to start the season. And also keep in mind, something that I did find interesting here. You see the Titans game, 9:30 a.m. NFL Network. That game's going to be played on the 15th of October. And typically you say to yourself, okay, they get that. Then they're going to take their bye week, and then away they go. They're not taking a bye week here. They're going to play the Lions at home the following week and saving their bye for a couple weeks later, which, as always, if you do think a team is going to be competitive, the later the bye, typically the better, so you can stay refreshed in the second half of that season. It's an interesting tactic that the Ravens have, because you can ask the NFL, Joe, on that one, hey, you're going overseas. Would you like your bye that week, or we're working in later? Right. They chose to go later in the year. We'll see if that does work out for them. But the schedule, you're right. When you're a good football team, yes, you're going to play other good football teams, but also sometimes in that division, that's going to be a highly competitive division. You're not getting any of those breathers from week to week, so it is a tough schedule, and that's why you take a look at that 10.5 price point at the FanDuel Sportsbook, lightly juiced to the over at a -102 price as it factors in. Now, let's take a look here for us at the division itself. If you're looking and saying, well, who are the favorites going to be in the division? Well, we know that it's probably going to be a team like the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals. But if we're looking at the Steelers, we're expecting big things. Year number two for their quarterback here. And also that wild card team, it feels like, in the Browns, where, okay, Deshaun Watson didn't play all that effectively last year. We're expecting him possibly to get back to his MVP level that we saw with the Houston Texans. Looking from a divisional standpoint, the Ravens coming in second in line at the FanDuel Sportsbook here behind the Cincinnati Bengals. Would you take a flyer on the Bengals in this division, on the Browns in this division, the Ravens? Who's it going to be for you here?
Well, I do think it is Cincinnati's division to lose. I think any which way you cut it, they've got some question marks, but undoubtedly they have now the most stable offense in that division, right? I mean, that is a offense that we know what we're going to get, Donnie, right? And so does everyone else, but good luck trying to stop it, right? The problem with, the Ravens is that correct me if I'm wrong, the last two seasons, we haven't even seen Lamar Jackson in December under center.
Yeah.
That is a problem, especially when you're trying to win those last couple of games here to be able to put yourself into a position to win the division. And when you've got those kinds of games ahead of you here in December, it is of the utmost importance Lamar Jackson is playing football in December for him. If he is not, that $260 million extension you gave him, he better be, because nobody has been better in December. 13-3 in his career in December, except we haven't seen him in the last two seasons. They better do everything they can to make sure he's available to play in December, Donnie. They better put the bubble wrap on him, stop running him, do what you got to do to make sure he's healthy in December, because if he is, the Ravens can absolutely contend against the Bengals. The problem is they haven't beaten the Bengals in a little while. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, Bengals +130 to win that division. The Ravens at a +250 price in second, followed by the Browns at +390 and the Steelers at a +470. Now, if we do get to Lamar Jackson, before we actually take a look at his statistics and what he means, I really like what the Baltimore Ravens have going on around Lamar Jackson. That is a steady group on that front line for the offensive line. You take a look at the wide receiver position. Odell Beckham Jr. comes in. That's certainly going to be a help as long as he can stay healthy. You go in the draft, you get a guy like Zay Flowers, Flowers coming out of Boston College. I love that move. And then you also have Rashad Bateman a few years ago taking him in the first round as well. And also, Mark Andrews, one of the best tight ends in football, along with J.K. Dobbins. Now, granted, Dobbins isn't happy here, wants a new contract, hasn't really done much in the NFL, but get hurt and show some flashes. We'll see how that works out. But the running game should be there. The offensive line is there, and the weapons are there. So if we start with Lamar Jackson, coming into the season, that massive contract, we're expecting big things out of Lamar Jackson here, Joe.
Yeah, no, we are. And, you know, your point there is that, you know, Bateman's back, right? He had the season-ending foot injury. Now you've got Odell Beckham Jr., Aguilar, Laquon Treadwell, Zay Fletcher. So he's got more weapons receiving-wise than he has had in a long, long time, right? We know the tight end and the relationship there. We do have a new play caller, I believe, here in Baltimore as well. So I think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, but and Harbaugh is one of the smarter guys in the NFL. He's been there and does. He understands that you better be able to do more than just expect Lamar Jackson to carry the offense. You have to give him the ability to be able to get rid of the ball. He can't be the leading rusher in any way, shape, or form. They need to establish what kind of offense they're going to be, and it can't just be Lamar and tight end, and Andrews. It's got to be more than that. They've got to be dual threat, meaning they can run the ball without Lamar having to do it. He could run the ball. They got to push the ball down the field, which is going to open things up a la Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. It's going to open up a lot more for Andrews and become very unguardable, which is exactly what they want to establish. Looks great on paper. They have all the pieces. Can they stay healthy enough to execute it?
It's a good point you bring up. Take a look at the 5 years that Lamar Jackson has been in the NFL rookie year there, played in all 16 games. Now, granted, didn't start all 16 games. The next 2 years, 15 games and 15 games, which those missed games due to, we played so well, we can give guys a game off at the end of the season with everything wrapped up. But the 17-game seasons, played 12 games. So that's something to certainly keep an eye on, which then again flips over. If we think Lamar Jackson is healthy in that offense and they have a good season, MVP can't be too far behind. He's already won one. He's actually a 15-1 price here to win MVP. That's behind Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If he does play and play well, like his MVP season, 36 touchdown passes, he's going to be right up at the top of that voting at the end of the year.
Yeah, keep in mind, guys, last year the Ravens had a league-low 1,500 receiving yards from their wide receivers. He don't have a dude that's 1,200 yard, like one of these guys has got to be over a 1,000-yard receiver. If he is, I think Lamar Jackson, and if he plays in 16 games, let's say, Donnie, he is absolutely a contender to be, and he's shown it, right? He's shown glimpses of it. Now he's got weapons. Let's see what he can do when it's not just all about Lamar. I think he has a shot at 15-1 to get it done here if all things break their way.
And if you want to take a look at the betting markets here to get in and say, will they make the playoffs? The Baltimore Ravens, yes, at a minus 150. No, at a plus 122. Quickly, Joe, which way are you going? Ravens in or Ravens out of the playoffs?
I think ultimately if he's healthy, they're in until I see otherwise. I would venture to say they are definitely going to make the playoffs.
There you go. Ravens on the clock here. 7-11. That's when they start their training camp. Can't wait for that. Major League Baseball is coming up next. And same game parlays.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As they take on the Milwaukee Brewers, I'm going to take the Mets on the money line today and pair it up with Francisco Lindor to get at least one RBI or more tonight. If we're taking a look at the breakdown of this game, which we're going to hit a little bit later in this segment, Colin Ray can't get left-handed batters out. Francisco Lindor is a switch hitter. He will be batting from the left-hand side tonight. When those two things happen, we're going to take down a +205 price point to keep all of the good vibes going here on the same game parlays at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe, you're on deck. Let's get it.
I kind of like where you're going there, Donnie. We hit our in-game live same-game parlay yesterday, well, last night, really, with Houston and the Dodgers by picking a side, a total, and a K-prop. And you know me, Donnie, if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it here. So we're going to go to a game we talked about a little bit earlier here today, and that game is going to be Cincinnati taking on the Baltimore Orioles, a game in which you and I talked about earlier. We see two left-handed pitchers on the mound, two right-handed heavy, good right-handed heavy lineups here that hit left-handed pitching really, really well. I got no problem thinking this game's going to go over. We're going to get double digits in runs at Camden Yards on a nice humid evening there. So over 9.5. We talked about it. I don't like that Batista's not going to be available for this game here for Baltimore. Got used the last couple of games against Seattle. I do think the edge and the better hitting goes to the Reds in this one. So I'm going to back them on the money line at plus money. And then give me the kid here, Brandon Williams, the rookie, taking the mound for them. Under 3.5 Ks is what I am focusing on. Listen, if we're being honest, is this kid even going to make it out of maybe the fourth inning or fifth inning? He doesn't blow anybody by. He's going to have a short lease if they hit the way I think they're going to hit against them, this Orioles lineup. So the strikeout is at 3.5. I don't see him mixing it up that much where all of a sudden he's going to flip into a K specialist here, Donnie. The stats are mediocre. He's not going to fool anybody in that right-handed lineup. So give me the under 3.5 strikeouts and give me that same game parlay at nearly 7-1.
Ooh, that is tasty. Diving into it, let's get into the rest of that Major League Baseball card, which does include the Milwaukee Brewers and the New York Mets. Ray will be on the mound here for the Brewers, and Verlander on the mound for the Mets. The Mets, heavy favorite in this one, Joe. A minus 180 price and a total that's listed at 8.5. That must have been a tough train ride back from Philadelphia to New York yesterday, knowing they should have won that game on Sunday, but they didn't. I'm expecting a bounce back from the New York Mets tonight, probably in reason, because I just don't trust that Milwaukee lineup all that much. I think the better pitcher is on the mound here with Verlander and the Mets, and I'll lay that minus 180 price point here. Give me some thoughts on this game between the Mets and the Brewers for you here, Joe.
Well, the metrics for Verlander speak to itself. He's walking more. He's striking out less. That is a problem. And if that continues, that's going to be an even bigger problem for the New York Mets here. So we've seen regression from the Mets bullpen. We've seen regression from Verlander. What does that tell me? Well, it tells me, as much as I hate this Brewers lineup, they might have some success here, against both Verlander and this Mets bullpen. If it gets to that, we got a humid night. We looked at the weather report, Donnie. I think we got double-digit winds that'll be blown out at Citi Field here. Colin Ray, let me just say this. Colin Ray, that's all you need to know. I'm expecting all sorts of hits and runs here tonight. I think the total, it opened 8. I think it's getting pushed up to 8.5. I still like the total to go up and over here tonight at Citi Field.
Yeah, take a look at some of these at-bats, too, because you're looking at Colin Ray really struggling over the past month in Major League Baseball to get left-handed batters out to the tune of a 294 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 416. So your RBI shots, for me, would come from Nimmo, Lindor, Vogelbach, McNeil, and maybe Beatty, even though Beatty hasn't performed all that well against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. It's one of those where you're lucky the Mets that you don't have the day off because you just be stewing over that loss yesterday. Sooner or later, you have to start the train in the right direction. Maybe it gets done today. That's where I'm looking for the Mets and the money line and Lindor to get me an RBI to cash in on my same game parlay. Let's keep it moving here. How about this one? Minnesota Twins, Atlanta Braves. You want hot, muggy conditions? That's what Atlanta gives you. You want blowing out to left field? That's what Atlanta's going to give you tonight. Strider, however, a minus 205 favorite going up against Sonny Gray in a total that's only listed at 8. Strider with a bounce back performance last time we saw him against the Philadelphia Phillies. Sonny Gray's been solid here for the Twins. A low total in the Big A.
Yeah, it is a low total here. And again, we talked about this earlier as well with this Atlanta lineup. They don't really, they can hit lefties, they mash righties. There isn't a one particular pitch that Actually, there is one, and it's you know, Sonny Gray doesn't really throw a whole lot of splitters. So that is the one pitch that has given him some issues. And when they face pitchers like that, maybe that's your best chance at handling this lineup. But other than that, no, Sonny Gray is a 4-5 pitch kind of guy, and he's been having a phenomenal year. Strider, the one thing we'll say about him is he throws 97, 98 miles an hour, right? But sometimes he doesn't know where it's going, and giving those free passes or not hitting his spots has been an issue. And the one thing I'll say about a Twins team that strikes out a ton, they actually do very well against the harder throwers who miss. And that's what Strider's issue has been here. So I do think that that total is low for a reason, because I do think Sonny Gray is the kind of pitcher that can limit the damage here a little bit. The question is, can the bats of Minnesota get to Strider? I think they might, and I think they might early, which is why I would look at Minnesota in the first five at plus money to be able to maybe, just maybe, get themselves a lead heading into the sixth inning.
Yeah, 85 degrees tonight in Atlanta, wind blowing out around 9-10 miles an hour to left field. We'll see how that plays into it. But as we know, that Atlanta lineup against anybody stacks up well. But Sonny Gray does have some pretty good splits. We'll see how that one works out. Detroit Tigers and the Texas Rangers. Boyd versus Haney on the mound. Heavy favorite here for the Texas Rangers at home at a minus 205 price and a total that's listed at 9. Can we trust the Rangers here to be a minus 205 victor tonight? Or is it going to be the Tigers and Boyd for you, Joe?
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about a disgusting game yesterday. Watching the Detroit third baseman make not one but two errors late in that game, and extra innings included to lose it for him. Here they are now right back at it. And Texas has got to be stewing. How many more guys are they going to leave on base, Donnie? Word. Wasted opportunity after opportunity for them. And they lost the series to the Yankees because they couldn't get that big hit. And the bullpen couldn't close the door here. So Haney has gotten lit up here a little bit. What are you thinking? Because I am thinking the Rangers on the run line may not be a bad opportunity in this game. At least maybe lay the half a run in the first five, because I do expect that Rangers lineup to be able to get to Boyd early and often.
Yeah, not a lot of at-bats here against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days for Detroit, just running up at seemingly after right-handed pitcher after right-handed pitcher. But if you take a look at shots here, Andy Ibañez in the third hole there, a 725 weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitchers over the past 30 days. You take a look at Matt Vierling and Cabrera, also right-handed batters, 399 and 481 respectively here with the weighted on base percentages, because as you said, Haney, left-handed pitcher, dominant against left-handed batters, a little bit leaky against right-handed batters. But then again, that Texas lineup is really strong. Boyd has struggled slightly against right-handed batters. We'll see a lot to light. There's a lot of ISO power numbers that are elevated and weighted on base percentages. So maybe even taking a look at the total in that game might make some sense. Let's keep it moving here. Chicago White Sox and the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels come into this as a minus 134 favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total listed at 8.5. It's Detmers and Cease. Now you take a look at Cease, maybe turning the page here on that 2023 season, four straight really good starts. And Detmers, he's been solid all year long for the Angels. 8.5, got to get 9 to win in this one. Might be looking at an under in this game for me, Joe. How about you tonight out there in Los Angeles?
Well, you're right about Dylan Cease. I mean, he's got the highest whiff rate over his last four starts than he's had all year long. Much more reminiscent of what we saw from him last year. He's not throwing any harder, but he's locating much better, which has obviously gone a long way in helping him strike out a ton of guys over his last four starts. Detmers also had a bit of a walk problem and a control problem early on. He seems to have straightened that out, too, over the last couple of starts. But we're also looking at a White Sox team that the numbers tell me they are much better against lefties, although they were better last year. But still, offensively, they outperform against lefties more so than righties here. And I do think Chicago's got the better bullpen here. We talked about the injuries that the Angels have had. They're trying to scramble right now for infielders. I do think this sets up pretty well for the White Sox and Dylan Cease. So, like you said, the under is not bad. I this price, I don't mind backing the White Sox at plus money either, especially in the full game and the first five.
Yeah, you take a look at the lineup there for the Angels. It actually profiles really well against right-handed pitching. But again, it's one of those where you say, do you take a leap of faith on that Angels lineup? Or do you say Cease has really gotten it back together? Because typically, Joe, what do we know about baseball? If you're a really good pitcher on top of your game, you can use the quiet, hot bats. Yep. We'll see if that happens tonight out in Los Angeles. Final game of the day. We'll took a look. Hey, look at this price point here. Seattle Mariners, minus 260 over the Washington Nationals. But by the way, Nationals just took a series there off the San Diego Padres, so living comfortably out there on the West Coast. A total of 7.5. It's Williams here for the Nationals, a guy that I usually like to fade, even though I'm not particularly in love with that Mariners lineup tonight. But Luis Castillo on the mound, looks like he's had a K shortage over the past couple games here. Could this be a big dog price winner for the Nationals at plus 215 here?
In what world is Seattle a 260, 270 favorite with a guy in a mound that has lost all four of his starts in the month of June? This is going to be his fifth start. He hasn't beaten anybody. In fact, Castillo, he's 0-5 in six career starts against the Nationals. Yeah, give me the plus, what, $2, $2.25 on the Nats, who are about to embark on a possible three-game winning streak? Yeah, they're playing some good baseball right now. I got no problem taking the underdog. I'll take them on the money line and give me the run and a half. I got no problem taking that either.
Yeah, Lane Thomas has been pretty good at the top of that lineup. Jamer Candelario also might be a legitimate chance. And talked about those Ks for Castillo. 10 three games ago, 6 two games ago, 3 in the last game. We'll see if he bounces back, but that'll do it for a Monday edition here of the Early Line. Joe Ranieri, you know what? He'll be back on Tuesday and also Wednesday here for us. The hardest working man at the Sports Grid Network. I'll close it down with Listen Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of a Monday edition of the Early Line. New week, new money, as we like to say. And boy, a lot of topics hit today with Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wright set here, powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. Before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after, which over the first couple segments, I will be on that show talking Major League Baseball. So make sure you stay tuned to that and the rest of your Sports Grid programming. Now, there we go. Look at that. We're good. See that? You get interrupted behind there. You lose your whole train of thought. But we still roll here live on camera, as we like to do. Now, granted, we're going to talk Listen Up in just a few moments here. But a ton of stuff went down over the weekend. Major League Baseball. We wrapped up the draft. Some good stuff to look forward to, which includes the College World Series tonight. A pivotal game number 3. Winner take all SEC battle between LSU and Florida. But I want to talk football, good people. So make sure you listen up. Look at that, ready to go. Football, yes, because I've told you for months now, once you hit the month of July, it's time to start talking NFL football. You say, Donnie, it's not even the month of July yet. So what? This week, we will have July, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as we launch off into the 4th of July weekend. We're ready to talk some football because I wanted to check when some of these NFL teams are going to be reporting to camp. The rookies for the Ravens, July 11th. That's the official start of football season. That's when the NFL Network posts up at every single opportunity at these camps just to show you guys in helmets, in shoulder pads, in shorts, just in shells, and ready to get the season moving along. Now, there are some additives here that we're still waiting on. DeAndre Hopkins, where are you going to go? Dalvin Cook, you're going to join him on a certain football team. So a lot of teams heading to camp, Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants. What's going to happen there at that point? Is he going to get a new contract? Is he going to be upset? Is he going to hold out? But the one thing is for sure, football is getting so close, and today we hit the Baltimore Ravens, and I am all raved up this year. I think Lamar is going to be special. I think the wide receiver is going to show up. Andrew's going to have a sensational year, and the Ravens will find themselves in the mix for an AFC championship game appearance. How about that? The morning after, coming up next with Ben Stevens. Don't you go anywhere. I'm going to be a part of it. Yeah.